All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGiulio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline Studio here on 720 WGN, and we're here until 5 a.m. It's Wednesday. Wildcard Wednesday. Get your requests in now. It's any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. A little bit later on, we're going to be talking about this is Today in History. Hawaii becomes the 50th state. So we're going to talk a little bit about Hawaii, and we also didn't have time to talk about it yesterday, but we're going to talk about the friendliest states in America ranked, and we'll tell you where Illinois is, and we'll tell you where Hawaii is, in fact, on that list. And we got much more going on. We have a Know Your Onion, another round of Know Your Onion coming up. That's where you have to tell the difference between a real news headline and a news headline from the Onion, and you'll win some prizes if you can do that, and it gets more difficult by the day to tell the difference between an Onion satirical headline and a real headline nowadays. So we'll do that a little bit later on as well. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text. And there you go. I'm very excited to welcome to the show my guest this morning, Brian Usna, who is a producer, director, writer of films, and particularly in the horror genre, has worked with the great Stuart Gordon, a good friend of ours here, and has been on the show many times. And they've been responsible for some classic movies. Well, one of his classics is being screened at the Music Box Theater on Sunday, August 25th, Music Box Theater at 7 p.m. It is a terrific film called Society, and this is his personal 35mm print that he's bringing along and showing to the audience. And so it's going to be he's going to be there too. So Brian Usna, who created the movie Society, will be there. And this is one of those movies that has been requested by horror fans all over the place to be screened on, you know, to be seen on the big screen. And so the Music Box Theater is going to do that, and Brian's going to be there. And let's welcome Brian to the show. Brian, welcome, sir.
Hi, thanks.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. Good. Well, congratulations on having this shown at the Music Box. Have you ever been to the Music Box Theater, Brian?
No, I haven't, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place. It's a classic, old, beautiful palace, and there aren't many of them left in this city or in the country. And this is one of the best ones, and you'll really love it. They love film there, and it's going to be fun.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about. Well, first of all, you know, when you got to Hollywood, you moved in L.A. in the '80s, and you started making. You were looking to start to make movies, and you hooked up with. You met Stuart Gordon. Stuart Gordon, who, of course, has a great reputation here in the city, starting Organic Theater Company and working here for such a long time. And he's a great guy. How did that partnership begin? How did you meet Stuart?
Well, when I went to L.A., of course, I didn't have any preparation to make movies. And so I put an ad in the Variety Weekly, a little like 1-inch, that said, horror movie director wanted. And I got a ton of replies. This is back in the day when people actually had to type or write the replies.
Right.
And I met a guy named Bob Greenberg. And Bob Greenberg had gone to USC and knew everybody in Hollywood. And he became kind of my guide. And Bob was from Chicago. And at one point, I was looking for a director for a horror movie. And he said, well, you know, you really should meet Stuart Gordon. He hasn't ever done a movie, but I know you guys are going to get along. And so I went to Chicago. I think it was over Thanksgiving in 83. And I went and saw a couple of, Stuart's plays. One was something that was already a success, and it was called ER.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one was a play that never really went anywhere. I think it was called Assembly Line, and that was at the Organic. And they put on the play, and then afterwards, Stuart got up and asked the audience what they thought of it. And, of course, the audience was used to this. This is, I guess, the Organic had quite a, you know, quite a regular audience.
Yeah.
And they were very honest about what they thought. And I was watching and thinking, and Stuart, it never fazed him. He dealt with everything just as it came to him. He didn't, you know, he didn't get defensive. He didn't, I mean, it's not like everybody said terrible things about it, but, you know, usually people are rather tender about stuff like that. And I was impressed. I thought, wow, this guy listens. And you took notes, and you could see he was going to take the response and use what he could. And afterwards, I went to his apartment, and Carolyn made us dinner, and we sat there and talked about horror movies. Mm. And one of the things he talked about was that he had a script for Reanimator, the Lovecraft story, and it was for a kind of a pilot of a TV show. It was a 50-page script. And I loved the idea, but I didn't want to make a... I wanted to do a movie. So I said, well, listen, if you want to develop it into a movie, then let's do it. And that's how it started. And we, I think it, exactly 1 year later, the Monday after Thanksgiving in 84, we began production. Mm-hmm. So it went pretty quick, and Stuart and I don't know, we just really got along. We had the same, we're totally different, but we have, you know, we both liked horror, and Stuart was just such a good storyteller. So when we made the movie, I mean, we were both, you know, kind of amateurs going in. Of course, everybody else was a professional.
Yeah.
But Stuart, you know, so people were surprised when the movie came out because it was so good. And I always say that, well, one reason is that Stuart was already like an 11-year veteran of directing before he made a movie.
Mm-hmm.
So people look at it and say, God, that was his first movie. And I say, yeah, but this guy knows how to tell stories with actors. And that's what I always thought his greatest talent was. That's what really separated him from most, is that he just knows how to tell a story.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we really, we made a few really good movies, and he was certainly one of the people I most liked to collaborate with.
Yeah, he you know, being a native Chicagoan, Brian, I was familiar with his work at Organic and his theater work and for a long time. And a lot of us here in Chicago, I've been reviewing movies for a very long time here at the station. In fact, back in I started officially working with Roy Leonard, who was once on this radio station, in 1985, the year that Reanimator came out. And
oh, there you go.
And I will never forget the critic screening of it. It was, there were about 40 of us in the screening room. Some of us familiar with Stuart's work on the stage, and I just was completely annihilated. I'm a horror fanatic, Brian. You should know that.
Mm, oh, good. And you're the right guy for this job.
And we just sat there and laughed and had a great time, and I had rarely seen a movie that was that outrageous, that went to places that not a lot of movies go, with such maniacal glee. And it's truly I love all the Reanimator movies, but the first one is just one of those landmark movies in horror cinema that just for me came out of nowhere. And what the reception that the movie received, how did that go over with you guys?
It got a great reception.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was even on a couple top 10 lists.
Yeah, it was on mine. It was on mine. Yeah.
This is like a really super low budget horror movie.
Yeah.
That I didn't even bother to send it in to get it rated.
Right.
Because I figured they would cut all the good stuff out. You know? And of course they would have.
Right.
But it was the first screening of the movie was actually at the Cannes Film Market in May of 85, and it was at midnight at the Star Theater, and Stuart had sent me the contact for Roger Ebert, who always stayed at the at a particular hotel there, and I brought I hand-delivered a invite for the screening. And I was shocked. I didn't know anything about the movie business. I had no background in it, and I went to the screening, and it was raining, and there was lines like all the way down the block outside this Star, and we went in. It was packed. They had to open the next screen. You know, it was a three-plex.
Yeah,
and and bike the print over. When they finish the first reel, they'd take up the next.
Oh man!
And at the end of the screening, everybody was like stomping their feet and clapping their hands to the music. And I was like, wow, this movie business is a lot of fun. And of course, I grabbed Ebert and tried to get him to tell me if he liked it, but he wouldn't. He said he had to. He said he never talked before he filed.
Right.
And but of course, he gave it a rave. He was a big fan of Stewart's. And we just, it was just amazing.
Yeah.
That thing was just kind of everybody liked it.
I remember Roger was at the screening that we saw it together. So that was his second time seeing it, and you know, there was just such giddy excitement, you know, in the room. And then when the film came out and it got, so, I mean, like, you know, you said, like, Roger gave it 4 stars and just went nuts for it. And it's not the kind of movie that you would expect, you know, the most popular critic in America, one of the 2 most popular critics in America, to give an absolute rave to. But that's how good a film it is.
Yeah, well, I think it was also, I think a lot of people, I think horror fans were especially, you know, I think they had an extra, they kind of were extra liked it because they weren't used to, you know, and I'm a horror fan, and so I know I'm a horror fan because I like any good movie, but right. If it's a horror movie, I even like the bad ones.
Yeah, me too.
You know, that shows you what kind of person you are.
Yeah.
And in horror, we're usually used to, you know, liking stuff that isn't perfect. You know, that's kind of, we dig it because of certain things in it.
Right.
But this, I think nobody was really ready for a really good movie,
right,
that was a hardcore horror movie. It's one thing to have Rosemary's Baby, you know, the Omen, you know, these kinds of big budget, great horror movies, but not something that's just purely exploitative,
yep,
just the real deal,
yep,
and cheap, and super cheap. That movie was shot in 16 days.
Yeah,
you know?
It's amazing.
And I think you know, you look at something like Evil Dead, which was a cheap movie like that. Well, it was really great, but it was really great for just this mad kind of feeling you got, but it wasn't necessarily a really good movie.
Right,
technically,
right.
Or script-wise or any of that.
Yeah.
It was just the energy behind it.
Right.
But with Reanimator, you kind of go, wow, where did this come from?
Yeah.
And I think the horror fans liked it double because of that.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of, especially in Chicago, I think, as you said, you knew who Stewart was.
Yeah.
And I think the people who knew who he was, it was kind of like going, you see, I knew he was good.
Exactly right.
I knew he was
exactly
good,
right. Brian, you know? Brian, hang on, okay? For a second, hang on.
Yeah.
Brian Usna is with us, and he is the director of a great film called Society, which is being shown at the Music Box Theater this Sunday night, August 25th at 7 o'clock, and it's his personal 35mm print. We'll talk about that and more with Brian right after we break here for the news on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio here until 5 a.m. It is Wednesday morning. That means Wildcard Wednesday. Any artist, any song, anything, get your request in now at 312-981-7200. We're going to be talking about Hawaii for specific reasons a little bit later on. And we're also going to be talking about body horror films. Speaking of which, Brian Usna is my guest right now. He's the director of a terrific movie called Society, which is being shown at the Music Box Theater. Very rarely does this film get shown, and in fact, so rare that the director himself, who we're talking to, is bringing his personal 35mm print to the Music Box Theater this Sunday to be shown. And that's Brian Usna, and let's welcome Brian back. Brian, welcome back.
Hi.
Hi. Before we move on, I just want to mention that 1985 was a particularly good movie year for horror, because in addition to Reanimator, Return of the Living Dead came out, and Day of the Dead.
That's right.
And those were three of the greatest sort of undead movies, you know, ever made. And it was just such a, it was a, for zombie fans, it was, you know, it was just, it was a treasure trove. at that time.
Good time.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah, it's funny because when we showed had the cast and crew screening for Reanimator, we had it at the Writers Guild Theater, and when it was over, I came up to Dan O'Bannon, who was the writer director of Return to the Living Dead.
Yeah.
And as he was coming by, he said, "That's our competition. That's our competition." And I thought, really? Could it be?
Yeah, yeah. Now, speaking of Return of the Living Dead, you directed one of the sequels.
I did number three,
and in fact, I'm a host at a flashback at what we call the Flashback Horror Convention here in Chicago. It's a yearly convention. It's 3 days long. Horror fans, you know, all that the stuff. Mm-hmm. Stuart's done it. Barbara's done it. Jeffrey's done it in the past, and I've done their Q&As and things like that. Well, Melinda Clark was there this year.
Oh, great!
Yeah,
I didn't know that she did those. Conventions.
Yeah, she had a nice long line, lots of people taking pictures with her and getting autographs, and it was a lot of fun to see her there. And she had a really interesting Q&A as well. How did you get involved in Return of the Living Dead 3?
Well, it's kind of a long story, but ultimately the company that ended up with the rights, Trimark, I had actually gone to them because I was working with some people that thought they had the rights.
Oh.
And I went to them to look for financing, and then it turned out that they didn't have the rights, and then Trimark ended up with them and called me and said, "Listen, if you're still if you're still interested, come on over." And so I went to see them, and they said, "Do you want to?" You know, by that time the second one had kind of tanked; it didn't work.
Yeah.
And so this one didn't have such high expectations. So I guess that's why they allowed me to do it. So they said, "Well, let's do it. Let's find a writer." And so we just went through the process of kind of interviewing writers and kind of developing the story, mm-hmm. and move forward that way.
Yeah, I really like Return of the Living Dead 3 a lot. I think it's really terrific. You know, you mentioned earlier that you are just a big time horror fan, just like me. What got you into it? There's always some sort of story about how someone becomes a big fan of horror. How did that happen for you?
I don't know. I think that I always feel like it's kind of like an infection that people get. It's kind of like a drug, you know.
Yeah,
the first
yeah.
time makes you sick, and then after a while, you're just chasing the dragon. And I think people who are like, you know, 11 to 20 something, well, especially adolescents, they all like horror.
Yeah,
because that's who it's for. It's all about, you know, the body changes and blood and sex and death and all that kind of thing. But then when you start running into people that are like 30 years old,
right.
and 40 years old, and they're still like horror, you kind of got to raise your eyebrows and say, "What, you know, you know, what's going on here?" And I think usually they saw something very early or had some kind of, you know, horror experience that kind of got him into it. And for me, I always like, I mean, it's not that simple, of course. It's not just movies. It can be, you know, ghost stories, camping. It can be, you know, that type of thing. But for me, the movie that got me when I was about, I think I must have been 7 years old or something, I saw The Creature with the Atom Brain at a kiddie matinee. I grew up in Panama. And it just, you know, kept me from sleep for nights. I was, you know, I had nightmares. It was so extreme. And then, of course, then I saw, I think it was the Seventh Voyage of Sinbad, where they had the woman turning into the snake, mm-hmm. and the skeleton fighting.
Right.
And then then I remember when I finally saw House on Haunted Hill, I was a little older.
Yeah.
And that was a movie for kids like me. We just had a blast. And then you started realizing horror was like fun. It was fun to have that thrill. I think I always think it's like a roller coaster ride or something. You know, kids who go on the roller coaster when they're very young, it scares the heck out of them. But as they get older, they keep trying to get that thrill.
Right.
And I think with horror, you do the same thing. And then after a while, you just start really enjoying and appreciating the craft of it,
yeah.
how it's done, how it's made, and you anything is like that. So I still really enjoy horror, and I really like, I like the genre.
Yeah, it's my favorite genre, and for me personally, it was creature features late at night on TV with the Universal films, the old Universal.
Yeah, those are great.
And then, but it all kind of changed when I saw the Hammer movies. When the Hammer movies, all that Technicolor and the blood.
Because, well, they had red blood and
yep.
they had bare breast.
Exactly.
And,
that's
wow.
exactly
you know, that
right.
That's so, scary. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Now I want to get to Society. We have to talk about Society because that's the movie you're coming to town for to screen, and we're all excited about it because it's such a terrific movie. But you know, you work on From Beyond, you do Reanimator, and you know you're doing these horror films, and then suddenly you and Stewart write Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. How does that happen? Which is a film that I love, and how does that happen?
Well, we had done Reanimator and From Beyond, and we were in we're having a barbecue at my house in my backyard, and we both had kids, and we were sitting there watching the kids, and Stewart said, you know, we should make a movie for our kids because, you know, they can't look at this stuff. And I said, well, you know, when I was a kid, I used to just kind of get my little guys and go in the grass and look real close up and imagine riding an ant and a beetle and a bee. And it was just so dramatic, the grass itself. And Stewart said, well, that's a great idea. The father shrinks them. They throw them out. And within like 40 minutes, we had come up with the whole story. And then Stewart said, we got to take it to Disney, and we should get Fred McMurray in it, because we were both fans of the old, you know, the Absent-Minded Professor and the Shaggy Dog.
Yeah.
And, you know, those kind of 50, well, I guess 60s. Disney things. And believe it or not, we were in Rome. You know, we made Dolls and From Beyond in Rome,
mm-hmm.
and it was like January or something of, I forget what year that would have been, and 86, I guess. And Stewart coming out of theater and everything, he had a really good agent in Hollywood already. And he got us a meeting at Disney. And so on the plane from Rome to L.A., we sat in the back. Back then, the planes weren't all full, you know. And we sat in the back, and on a legal pad, we wrote out the story. And then we had a meeting at Disney, and within a couple weeks, they said they wanted to do it. And next thing you know, we're meeting with Katzenberg, and boom, boom, boom.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really great.
Wow, that's a great story. That is a great story. And then it turned out to be a huge hit for Disney. And
it was the biggest hit they had had at that. They needed it because at that time they were going to split Disney up. If you remember,
mm-hmm.
Disney, they were going to separate the theme parks and the movie thing and the animation. You know, it was going to be broken up and sold off.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That was before they now they dominate the entire universe. So
yeah, absolutely.
They own everything.
Yeah, they're big brother.
Yes. Brian, hang on, okay?
Sure.
All right, Brian Usna is with us. He is a producer, writer, and director. His film from 1989, Society, which is very rarely screened, is going to be screened on Sunday night at the beautiful Music Box Theater, and it is Brian's personal 35mm print. So you need to go and check out musicboxtheater.com for this special screening of Society with Brian in-house. We'll come back and talk more about this coming up right after this on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. It's a Wednesday morning here. We are live in the Skyline Studio here, the WGN Skyline Studio, and we're here until 5 a.m. It's a Wednesday morning, And Wildcard Wednesday, get your request in now, or any artist, any story, artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. My guest right now is Brian Usna, a filmmaker, a writer, director, a producer. His film Society is being shown at the Music Box as part of the Music Box of Horrors. And, you know, they're doing a bunch of really cool things for the 90th anniversary of the Music Box Theater. It's been around for 90 years, and they're taking they're going to do a great year full of really cool and special events. And this is one of them. Brian's going to be there live. It's his own 35mm print of a terrific horror film, Society. And it's this Sunday night at 7 o'clock at the Music Box Theater, and we welcome Brian back. Brian, welcome back.
Thank you.
Let's talk about the film that you're going to be showing here on Sunday night in Chicago, Society. How did this one come to you?
Well, this was a movie that a couple of guys gave me the script, and I had a deal with a friend who was starting up a company and was going to make these independent movies, and I liked it. I had been working for a year with Dan O'Bannon in very strange circumstances on a very paranoiac script called The Men, which was about a woman that discovers all men are aliens. And Dan was going to direct it, and when we finally got the financing kind of together, Dan backed out. He was a rather mercurial person. And at that point, it was very disappointing, and I moved on, and about a month or two later, I got this script, and I read it, and it had the same paranoia that I had been living with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was so, and I thought, got to do this. And the only thing was, it wasn't very fantastical. And I'm a kind of guy, I just love all the fantasy stuff.
Yeah.
We were talking about Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and I always tell people, well, fantasy, you just change the lighting a little darker, and it's a horror movie.
Right.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids could be very easily a horror movie. It just wouldn't have a happy ending.
Right.
And you'd change the lighting a little bit. So with Society, I was, I like the fantastical stuff, and I've always been a fan of surrealism and things like that. And so I kind of adapted the script so that it had a fantastical element to it. And I worked with Screaming Mad George, who's just one of the most... Just one of the most imaginative effects guys that I've ever met in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And I think it's the best... I mean, it's his best work. You know, for Screaming Mad George, it's the best stuff he's ever done.
Yeah.
And because I was working with my friends, we just did whatever we wanted. And the movie is very unique. And it was not a big hit when it came out, not in this country.
Yeah.
And I was very disappointed. But in England, France, Italy, Spain, it was. Of course, back then, pre-internet, you didn't really know that much.
Right.
But then about 10, 15 years ago, all of a sudden, in the U.S. and around the world, all of a sudden, I started getting a lot of inquiries about it.
Yeah.
And now it's been kind of rediscovered, and partly because there's a big appreciation now for 80s genre movies.
Yeah.
There's a real, people are looking back to before the digital age and going, hey, there was something that was good about that.
Yeah.
So there's that. But the other thing is I think it really is, it seems really about today.
Yes,
it does.
In a
lot of ways.
yes,
it is an old movie, and it is a cheap movie, and it's not a perfect movie.
Yeah.
But I will guarantee anybody who goes to it, they will get their money's worth.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no,
just
no.
Hang in there.
No, no.
And it will give you something you've never seen in a movie, and you will not be sorry you went.
No, the payoff is massive, Brian. Let me just say that. And the film was made at the end of the Reagan era, beginning of the first Bush
era.
And that's, throughout the whole thing. But the thing about it is, if you watch it now, it's as timely now as it was back then. And boy, the effects and the body horror stuff is amazing. It's, you know, we're going to be talking about the best body horror movies coming up after we say goodnight to you. And this is up there. It's so good. What do you think about now? Because I love beautiful, old, fantastic practical effects. They just, mm-hmm. they make me happy. And when I see that, I mean, like, I could watch John Carpenter's The Thing and look at Rob Bottin's effects and go, that's as good now as it was in 1982. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about the way that has changed and everything is CGI now?
Well, I think there's a look back now. I think people are starting to realize that CGI is not the magic pill.
Right.
You know? I think the height of CGI, I think one of the reasons why superhero movies are kind of the movies of our era is because they are the ones that can take the most advantage of CGI.
Yeah.
But I think when movies started doing everything CGI, I mean, now if they want a blood splatter on the wall, they do it CGI.
Right.
There's a kind of an animated feeling to
right.
it. And if you don't have a ton of money for CGI, and I mean a lot, it really is hard to get it to really get past that animation feeling.
Mm-hmm.
One example I always give in horror is when The Mummy, the first remake of The Mummy, I don't know, when was that?
99, I think. 20 years ago?
Yeah,
99, yeah.
Yeah. And I remember Arnold Vosloo was The Mummy.
Yep.
And at one point, his whole mouth and chin and everything are all kind of decayed or kind of torn back.
Yeah.
And it was the kind of effect that generally would have been kind of censored. But because it was CGI, it was a PG-13.
Right.
And one reason, when I looked at it, I said, why is that okay? Well, it was okay because it wasn't very, it didn't really get you.
Mm-hmm.
Because subconsciously, I think you kind of read it for what it is. Whereas if you just took a rubber face and pulled that out and put real red liquid and stuff, it would not be acceptable. It would be, you know, kind of horror. And I think there's something real about puppets. And I can take a good effects guy can put his hand in a sock and bring it to life.
Yeah,
puppets are real. Miniatures, mechanical effects. Now, CGI, I think, is really, really good for erasing wires and hiding rod, you know, having green rods and enhancing. It's so hard to have a mechanical kind of monster. The eyes, the teeth, all the little movements don't work.
Yeah.
But with CGI, you can bring those to life. So I'm not against it at all.
I
just think you need to go for the punch.
I agree with you. There are times when CGI is used brilliantly. I think one of the movies that uses CGI, like you said, to get rid of wires and to do those things, everything else is practical. One of the most insane movies, one of my favorite movies of all time, which is Mad Max Fury Road, which those cars were real, the stunts were real. They were on harnesses, and they got rid of some of the harnesses, they got rid of the wires, but everything you're seeing on that screen was real, but the CGI made it more effective. And that, I think, is exactly what you're talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly. Well, it's when you watch, what was that, Indiana Jones number 4 or 5 or whatever.
With the fourth one,
Where they tried to repeat kind of like the truck gag.
Yes, yes.
Certain things. And you're watching the truck gag and see him crawl around the truck while it's racing down the road, and it doesn't do anything for you.
Yeah.
Because you see that they're in a stage with the background a fake background and all this kind of stuff. But when you watch the original one, you're like so excited because somebody's really doing that.
Yeah, exactly.
They're really crawling over that truck.
Yeah.
And I think even in the superhero movies, for me, so much of the time, I mean, what they do, the images, the sci-fi images are so wonderful. But so much of the time, the scene is a couple people talking with this incredible background.
Right.
And you just realize that it's just people with a background. And I think subconsciously that a lot of people kind of get that in a subconscious way. They go, hey, this isn't, you know, I watch an old movie and there's something about it that gets me more. It affects me more.
Yep.
And I think it's that puppetry, the manipulation of real things.
Yeah.
And well, and so there's something to be said for that.
There is, and it's on display beautifully in Society, which is a terrific movie that still holds up. And it's your own personal 35mm print. How great is that?
I should say one thing. There's the biggest movie magazine in the UK is called Empire. I'm sure you know about it. Most people don't. But it's a big, glossy, great movie magazine. And a few years ago, they had a countdown of the top 50 grossest scenes in film history. Number one was the shunning from Society, and I was very proud of that.
Well, congratulations.
So just tell your audience
there
that
you
way.
Go.
Anybody
There's
who's it. Listen, anybody who's awake at this time, they should go to Society.
I think that sums it up. Yeah, it's great. If you're a horror movie fan, a body horror fan, there's a huge payoff. It's also a funny film and a great social satire as well. It's a great movie. And to see it with the 35mm print at the beautiful Music Box Theater with Brian in-house, it's a special night. And it's this Sunday, August 25th at 7 o'clock. Brian, what a joy it was to talk to you. A real pleasure.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Absolutely, Brian. Have fun in Chicago.
Thanks a lot.
There you
Bye-bye.
Go. Brian Usna, everybody. Producer, writer, director, has been associated with some of the greatest horror movies. Society. If you've never seen it, and a lot of you haven't, you should definitely get out and see it, especially if you're a body horror fan, if you're a practical gore effects fan, if you like things that are weird and things that are really clever, you got to check out Society. And it's Brian Usna's personal 35mm print, and it's Sunday night at the Music Box Theater at 7 o'clock. So check it out. All right, we're going to break here on 720 WGN.